Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Welcome back to the show. This is episode 372. I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday with your families. If you had to work, I feel for you. I used to have to do that every year for the last 6 or 7 years until just this last 3 years. So I know what that's like, but to everybody out there who is working and serving our communities or just doing your job at retail or whatever, it matters. And you guys were all doing what you had to do to make ends meet and to take care of our families and ourselves. So just remember that. This week on the program, we've got a paper. It's a little bit shorter, right? It's a end of a holiday week. We're coming off of that. So I wanted to go ahead and make sure we get an episode out. And I want to read a paper that we were going to read last week, but ran out of time. So we'll go ahead and do that in this episode, and we'll get into that in just a moment. The Whence Came You podcast is brought to you through the generous support of Masonic Revival, contemporary Masonic designs made for today's Freemason. You don't have to settle for throwing a plain old square and compass on anything anymore. Now you get something truly designed and truly wonderful. Whether it's aprons, awesome pins, and wonderful neckwear, bow ties, ties, pocket squares, you name it, Masonic Revival has it. Head on over to MasonicRevival.com and check out what they have to offer. And to top it all off, use the promo code WCY at checkout, and you're going to get free shipping. And make sure if you see Brother Edgar, tell him thanks for helping bring this program to all of you. And this program is also brought to you by all of you, those of you who support this program. We can't do it without you and your donations and all of your assistance, so thank you so much. To find out more about how you can assist this program, head on over to WCYpodcast.com and click on Support the Show. There you can make direct donations, sign up to be a monthly contributor, a fellow, or even a producer. And thanks very much to everybody for donating. So the piece that I would like to read for you this week is called Tell the World. It was a Short Talk Bulletin, volume number 8, published in December of 1930. It's number 12 by Unknown. Quote, "Neither are you to suffer your zeal for the institution to lead you into an argument with those who, through ignorance, may ridicule it." End quote. This cautionary sentence in the charge to an entered apprentice deserves more elaboration than it usually receives. He sits in a good lodge, the worshipful master of which instructs both the new and the older brethren in regard to many matters connected with the fraternity, which are in no sense secret, yet which strike the profane as peculiar, odd, sometimes even ridiculous. Masonry needs no defense before the world from her members or anyone else, yet what the individual may intend just as a criticism may often require a reasonable answer. The Mason who understands his Freemasonry and so can make such a reasonable answer is not arguing with ignorance, but spreading light. If he really knows whereof he speaks, he may speak without profit to himself and honor to the fraternity. Perhaps nothing in the fraternity has caused more criticism from the outside world than the well-known disposition of a master mason to prefer masons to non-masons as objects of relief, as business connections, as social comrades. The world says, in effect, what right has masonry to say that masons are more worthy of charity than non-masons, that businessmen who are masons have better right to business from masons than non-masons? That the fraternity can put any stamp upon a man which makes him socially more desirable than the man who is not initiated. Especially do we hear from those whose doctrinal beliefs are stronger than their knowledge of the New Testament. Don't you Masons know that charity should be for all, and no preference should be shown to one worthy object above another? Usually such a criticism may be silenced by quoting St. Paul the Epistle to the Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Quote, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." End quote. Although a Mason is repeatedly abjured to make his charity universal, he is also told, when bidden to relieve the distressed, more especially a brother Mason. He has excellent precedent, since St. Paul qualified his good unto all men with especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That is, to those who are of his church, his beliefs, were his friends and brethren. Masons maintain Masonic homes for the unfortunate among their brethren, their widows and orphans, and often for their sisters, daughters, sons, fathers, and mothers. No Masonic teaching instructs that a Mason should not contribute to other charities. The continually insistent teaching of charity through all the degrees, especially the Entered Apprentice degree, the continual reminder of the importance of charity is in opening and closing all lodges, do put emphasis upon Masonic brethren, but exclude no one from Masonic charity. In the monitorial work about the beehive, in the Master Mason degree, we are taught of the advantages of dependence. Without dependence, societies, nations, families, and congregations could not be formed or exist. But the very solidity of the group, predicated upon mutual independence, also creates this idea of distinction in relief or friendship or business as between those without and those within the group. This feeling is universal. The Church gives gladly to all good works, but most happily to relieve those of its own faith. Our government considers the welfare of its own nationals before that of nationals of other governments. The head of a family will not deny his own children clothes to put a coat upon the back of a naked child of his neighbor. Those we know best, those closest, those united in the tightest bonds, come first with us the world over, and in every form of union. Naturally, then, a Mason is taught that while charity is in theory for all, in practice it is for, more especially, a Brother Mason. What is true of charity is true of business and of social intercourse. It is a false teaching that Masonry should bring business to any man because he is a Mason. It is good Masonic instruction that a Mason should give business to his brother. That a Mason who thinks of the stranger who wears a Masonic pin, "What can he do for me?" is not a good Mason. He who sees the pin and thinks, "What may I do for him?" is a true brother. To give one's custom to a Mason is to practice the tie of brotherhood. To ask for business from a Mason because of their brotherhood is to belie it, or to be in contradiction to the teachings. Other things being equal, a brother prefers to deal with a brother, a son with a father, and a father with his sons. Other things being equal, a Mason prefers to deal with a Mason, but if other things are not equal, no obligation predicates business upon Masonry. It is wholly a matter of desire, of a wish to serve the brother for whom the heart feels affection. Some manners and customs peculiarly Masonic arouse the unthinking laughter of those who understand them not. No need for argument regarding them exists, but sometimes an honest question deserves an honest answer. The psychologist finds in the grandiloquent titles of officers in some fraternal orders what he calls, quote-unquote, an avenue of escape from reality. His theory is that many a man whose success in the world is but modest finds satisfaction in its eminence in being called Most Excellent High Chief of the Purple Palace, which he never obtains in the mundane world. The non-Masonic student of psychology, hearing of Worshipful Master and Most Worshipful Grandmaster, often thinks Masonry has adopted high-sounding titles for similar reasons. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Wycliffe Bible, Matthew 19:19, reads, "Worshipful, worship thy father and thy mother." The Authorized Version translates worshipful to honor. Honor thy father and thy mother. In parts of England today, one hears the mayor spoken of as worshipful. The word is used in its ancient sense as meaning one worthy, honorable, to be respected. Worshipful, as applied to the master of a lodge, does not mean that we should bow down to him in adoration, as does the word when used in its ecclesiastical sense. We worship God, but not men. Our master, in being called worshipful, are not, as some ignorant critics have said, being put by us in the same class with God, but are paid tribute of respect in the language of two or more centuries ago. Several distinct meanings attached to the word grand, the most common is Funk and Wagnall's dictionary, of imposing character or aspect magnificent in proportion extent. In this way we speak of the capital at Washington as grand, the nation as a grand country, the coronation of the King of England as a grand ceremony. But grand has another meaning. The same dictionary specifies that it connotes preeminence or rank of order, of prime importance, principle. In this sense, we speak of a grand parent or a grand jury, a grand total. And it is in this sense that we have a grand lodge. Not that it is magnificent, beautiful, gorgeous, but grand, in that it is the first primary or principle. Hence, the most worshipful Grand Master of the Grand Lodge means simply, quote-unquote, the master, the most worthy of respect of the lodge, which is preeminent in rank in Masonry. There is nothing in common with such an expression which has the respectability of a great antiquity behind it, and ineffable, exalted high cockrolorum of the enchanted palace of the seventh heaven, or any other similar collection of meaningless words used to describe a titular head of some mushroom fraternal order. He who considers our titles in this class is to be pitied for his ignorance and may be enlightened at his request. Masonic lodges are seen in public only on three occasions: when conducting a funeral for a deceased brother, when attending a divine service in a group, or when laying a cornerstone of public buildings. Our public contracts with the profane world are thus infrequent. The comparative unfamiliarity of the public with the proper dress of a Mason must be at the root of the idea that white aprons are, quote-unquote, funny or rather silly. Undeniably, a white apron is not sartorially considered a decorative addition to the conventional dress, but neither is it a surplice of an Episcopalian minister, the head of a dress of an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, or the silk hat of a formal opera goer, a thing of beauty. The badge of a Mason has the respectability and the symbolism of great antiquity. We may not go with some enthusiastic researchers into Masonic lore as far as the Garden of Eden and say that the apron is a modern prototype of the fig leaf worn by our first ancestors, but in the most ancient religion of Israel, Egypt, Chaldean, and the Orient, we discover that the apron in one form or another was a symbolic significance. In the mysteries of Mithras in Persia, candidates were invested with the white apron. Old carvings, venerable statues, and remnants of ancient writings thousands of years old show that the apron was a part of a formal dress in many religions and initiations. The apron was a practical matter to stonemasons. It protected the person of the wearer from chafing and injury, and when equipped with a pocket, provided the wearer with a convenient receptacle for the chisel and common gavel. When the ancient society changed from operative to speculative, the tools of a mason became symbols for moral instruction. The practical dress of the hewer of stone, the honorable badge of a Freemason, when this is made known to the profane, but he no longer sees in our clothing any reason for laughter. It takes all kinds of people to make a world, and it would be a dull one if we all thought and acted alike. Being human, Freemasonry has all kinds of men in her ranks. Each takes from the ancient craft according to his vision, his ability, his knowledge, and his desire. To some, it's holy, sacred, a great and glorious opportunity, a real and vital force, uplifting and ennobling. To others, a lodge is just a place to go, a group of good fellows to meet and know. It is from these that we hear of the Masonic goat and the supposed terrors of the third degree. Also, so real are these supposed features of our initiation that the third degree has become the name for the physical and mental tortures practiced by the police to extort information from unwilling suspects. Let every interested Freemason lift up his voice when seriously interrogated regarding the Masonic goat. He violates no secret when he declares that Freemasonry is serious from the first to the last, that it partakes in no way of the character of initiation of college fraternities or the mystic shrine, both of which, although they have their serious moments, are devoted to making a candidate unhappy for the pleasure of his brethren to be. Our third degree was not called the sublime degree of a master mason because it contained a butting goat. Masons think upon the pitiful tragedy and the exalted lessons of the master's degree with reverence. No good mason suffers them to be soiled with the idea of ribald fun, goats, mechanical tortures, or other jokes supposedly played upon candidates, if it is in the power to prevent it with a quiet word of truth. The entered apprentice is charged not to let zeal lead to argument, yet the last words of the charge are concerned with the honor, glory, and reputation of the institution, by which the world at large may be convinced of its good effects. Argue not, but do not refuse the courteous answer to the legitimate question as the public contacts of Freemasonry with the world, which, seen in the light of the reasons behind them, are no longer pegs on which to hang a garment of laughter, but beautiful symbols, teaching rich lessons to those who understand. All right, I hope you enjoyed that paper. Now, some of the things that we've talked about in this paper, we have talked about in other similar papers, particularly the bit about the honorific titles. There are a couple of things within this paper that really stand out to me, and I think it bears repeating just these two pieces. The first quote was, "He who considers our titles in this class," that is the class of titles because you're special, "is to be pitied for his ignorance and may be enlightened at his request." This is an interesting way of saying, in an insulting, intelligent way in the 1930s, that if you disagree with this, you come talk to me. And I think that it's a powerful thing to say when we think about it this way, because we all know there are those out there who love their titles and they hang everything they are on their titles. And that is, of course, wrong, and they are missing the point. Now, the second piece that I really love in this, actually, is this idea that those men out there who consistently joke about the goat or whatever, that maybe you're one of these guys who does these jokes every once in a while, and maybe you do them because you just don't know any better, or that's what was done to you, but just stop it. It's not funny. You're degrading the ritual. We're degrading the ritual when we let this happen. And I think it's really important to say that we need to treat this with serious conviction, because that's what it is. It's a life-changing experience. This is not the shrine. This is not some other initiatory rite where you, maybe the moose or the elk, where you have a bunch of drinks first and then you have your initiation and you're half in the bag by the time it's over. This is not that. This is a life-changing experience, and we really need to treat it that way. So I hope you guys take this paper, maybe select portions of it that resonate with you, and read them to your lodge, or if they have the wherewithal to listen to the entire thing, read them the whole paper. But I hope you do nonetheless. So switching gears, I wanted to tell everybody out there, I did find a way to share my recent Facebook fundraiser for my birthday on various groups. And I wanted to make sure that I thanked publicly everybody who helped raise money. Now, what we raised money for was the protection, preservation, maintenance, and the restoration of the Scottish Rite Temple located in the District of Columbia. Of course, the House of the Temple, the home of the Scottish Rite Southern Jurisdiction. I set a goal of raising $200 in 2 weeks, and we reached $200 in like 5 hours. Then, of course, it kind of trickled off and slowed down. But over the next 2 weeks, we raised $540. I could not be more happy, just excited that we were able to do this. So I really want to thank everybody out there for donating, specifically to my friends, Javon Givens, Brother Bill Hosler, Brother Eve, Brother Anthony Pellegrino, Brother Rob Moore from Detroit, Brother Anthony Lawshy, John Hall, Jason Floyd. Jason Floyd, who actually was a huge supporter in our effort to, I gotta say thank you. He saw that we were short a whole number, so he donated even another $7 to get us up to a whole number there. Brother Jason, thank you so much. Brother Chuck Dunning. Brother Chuck Dunning, thank you so much. Brother Rob Jackson, Brother Mike Hambrick, Brother Joe Martinez, Brother Solomon McGregor, Taz Mayer, Brother Alex Joseph, Bobby Mitchell, Dave Hosler, Tom Ryan, Brother Sal Listro. You guys are incredible. Thank you so much for making this possible. This money is going to go right again to the House of the Temple Historic Preservation Foundation. And I just want to say thank you so very much for allowing us to raise that money to do that again. This is the giving season. So I hope you guys, this wasn't for Giving Tuesday or anything. This was just my birthday fundraiser. And it kind of coincided with Giving Tuesday. So I hope I caught you all in the giving spirit and the giving time of the year. And it doesn't really cost anything to do these fundraisers. And Facebook's been kind of a neat place to do that, because it doesn't take any of the funds that it raises. In fact, I think once you get a first donation, they donate $2 to your cause also. It's just a couple bucks, but every bit helps, right, for all of our foundations out there that are doing the good works and preserving things and helping people out. This is that season, so awesome. Thank you so much, guys. Wanted to go ahead and address that there will be no show on the 23rd of December, because that's leading into Christmas, and there will be no show on the 30th, which leads into the new year. Those are the 2 weeks I take off every year, and so we'll be dark for a couple weeks. But I will definitely be posting things to our Instagram account, to our Facebook account, and still the Midnight Freemasons will be going strong, so we'll keep you engaged with Masonic stuff the entire time. Now comes the point in the show where I ask you to help support this show. How do we do that? Well, we have a bunch of different ways to do that today. If you head on over to WCYpodcast.com, you can click on direct donation through PayPal, which we briefly touched on in the beginning of the program. Of course, you can make that one-time donation, or you can sign up to be a monthly contributor. Contributing $2 a month, $5, or even $10 a month, whatever you choose, really helps the program out. Of course, we have a limited edition shop where you can pick up any number of items that come direct from us. Help us out by going to MasonicRevival.com, but also we have some other affiliates that are really important. Bankers Best, one of the most unique things we've ever done, is to work with Brother Levi Banker out of St. Louis, who owns his own company called Bankers Best Beard and Skincare. He's been so generous. If you head to WCYpodcast.com, click on More, then click on Banker's Best, and you can check out a bunch of the different products he's got. He's got a whole line of beard care products, skin care, oils, balms, all of this stuff, and he has been doing it a long time. He knows a lot about it. Everything is handmade, quality items. We even came up with the King Solomon's Reserve Beard Balm, which is a few years old now, but remains one of the great products that he still offers. Even the artwork on the bottle was done by a brother. The nice thing about this particular product is 50% of the proceeds come back to the program. If you're a history guy like me, then you'll be pleased to know that what makes the beard oil and balm very special is that it was made utilizing the fragrances specific to the exports of King Solomon's time and location, which is amazing. So black fig and honey is the formula. Luxurious scent, as Levi says, truly fit for our first Grand Master. If you use the promo code BBWCY357 at checkout, you'll also get a little bit of a percentage off. Please check that out. Bankers Best, or just head on over to buybankersbest.com. We also have a code with On It. You can go to our website, click on More, then go to On It, and you can click through any of the links here, or just go to onit.com and use the promo code WCY at checkout. You'll get 10% off, and they'll send a little bit back to the program to help us out. And of course, it's business time. The book that I wrote with John T. Ruark, it is making some real waves, and people are using it and seeing success. So check that out on Amazon. You can click right to it. You can get it on Audible, Kindle, or in print, even on iBooks. And last but not least, I want to ask you to check out the Great Books program. You'll see the banner for it on the left-hand side, Intellectual Linear Progression. Use the promo code WCY, or you can just click on that link there, and you'll actually go right to the website and hear a little bit from Scott Hambrick about how awesome the program is. So that's it. I hope you guys enjoy, and thank you so much for helping us out. And that's it, guys. I want to say thanks again for listening to the program. It has been an honor and a privilege to continue to bring this show to you for so many episodes and years now. I don't think I would be where I am today without all of you backing this program and talking with me and going out to see lodges and to present topics. And it's just fantastic. A couple things I did want to mention coming up before we close out. Those producer pins are in. So, if you want one, go ahead and head on over to WCYpodcast.com and check that out. Presentations. It's coming up on time where a lot of folks are contacting me to come out to the lodges and to do some presentations. So I did want to mention that, of course, I do presentations. I will fly all over the place to do them. I have two requirements. You give me a sleeping bag or a place to sleep and get me there and back. So whether you're that means a plane ticket or a rental car or something along those lines. More than happy to get there and do the education for you guys. It was a real pleasure. I got to do a Skype presentation at Kenton Lodge number 1186 out of Buffalo, New York, which was just fantastic and a really good time. December 3rd, I'll be at Lafayette Lodge in Indiana. We're going to be doing Esoterics 101, which is a really good in-depth presentation. We'll be talking about a lot of different systems and what those systems teach, how Masonry fits into all that, and maybe what hidden dogma lies within Freemasonry itself. So December 3rd, Lafayette Lodge in Indiana. Coming up in March, I'll be at Gateway number 40 in St. Louis, Missouri. June 15th, we're doing the Mid-Atlantic Esotericon at Manassa Lodge 182 in Manassa, Virginia. This is going to be epic. So you guys want to make sure you check that out. You can find the group on Facebook. Just look for the Mid-Atlantic Esotericon. If you're going to go there, you buy tickets and all that good stuff. There's going to be several really esoteric dudes giving some great presentations. It's just going to be outstanding. June 22nd, Alpharetta Lodge in Georgia. Of course, August 8th through 11th, I'm going back to Camp Masonry in Toledo, Ohio. That was such a highlight of my Masonic travels that when they asked me to come back, I said absolutely. I didn't even check my schedule. I just said yes. I was going to make it happen. So, of course, that's happening September 24th next year. Santa Barbara Lodge number 192, topic TBD. Don't know yet. It's out there in the future, but Santa Barbara Lodge 192 is putting together quite the educational program this year, and my hat goes off to them. As I understand, they're going to be having quite a few guys out there. Brother Timothy Hogan will be there, some other gentlemen, a good friend and brother. Well, not a brother yet. He will be, though. Future brother Russell Bishop will be there, a very enlightened individual. And so, yeah, we've got some great Masonic educators going out there, and they're doing all this great stuff. So, gee whiz. All I can say is that I hope you guys are all putting on great programming at your lodges. And if you ever feel like you want somebody to come out and do something for you for a special occasion, or maybe just a regular old stated meeting, but you want some great education, hit me up. I'm more than willing to do Skype presentations if you like, or if you have an event that you want me to speak at, that's cool too. Whatever I can do for you guys, it's all about giving back. And with that, I think I'm going to let you go because it is snowing like crazy. We just got issued a blizzard warning. It is Sunday, November 25th, and there's a blizzard warning. So we'll let you go. I'm going to stay warm, hunker down with the kids, and put up the Christmas tree. We'll talk to you guys all next week. Stay on the level. For Wince Camu, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.